Okay, he's been dealing with Christian behavior and attitudes, which we're supposed to display based on the law of love. There's lots of laws. One day I was talking to one of the Arizona legislatures, and this person told me every year we are asked to consider between 750 and 850 new laws. And I looked at this person, I said, why do we need so many new laws? He says, I have no idea. And they don't be able to get to read too very many of them. How many have ever heard that the one big beautiful bill that just got passed recently? I actually found it online and I read it. It's very interesting. A lot of stuff in there. What I usually do when I get a book is I go to the back of the book and I read the index, find something interesting in it, or I read the end of the story so I know what's going to happen, and then I'll start maybe in the front. Hallelujah. We can do that with our Bibles, amen, because we know the end of the story. Hallelujah. Praise God. We win. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto the end to death. I would rather be departed, amen, and be with Jesus and be done with all this mess here on earth. But God has a purpose for us being here. So the Gentiles, Paul's writing this letter to the Gentile believers who had joined in with the Jewish believers in Rome. Okay, in this section we're admonished to avoid putting a stumbling block in the way of another. Jesus died for everyone. Treat others right. Be respectful and edifying, because in verse 12, the last verse of last week, each of us will be accountable to God. Amen? And that's a heavy thing sometimes, to know that someday we're going to stand in front of God, Jesus is going to look us in the eye, and he's going to say, well done? Or is he going to say, well done? Amen? Praise God. Therefore, he begins. Therefore, what is it? Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. So let's dissect this real little bit here. Do not pass judgment. It literally means, according to Jameson, Fawson, and Brown's commentary, it literally means do not assume the office of a judge. How many have ever been before a judge? The judge has the right and the power and the authority to say, I decide this is going to happen. The Supreme Court of the United States hands down decisions, and these affect our lives. It actually, according to the commentary, is a play on words. Don't be a judge, but let this be your judgment or your decision. Decide. This is what you should judge or you should decide. Make a decision never to put a stumbling block in front of another believer, a hindrance or an obstacle. So when I first got saved, I had been raised, we had beer and wine, alcohol with dinner. That was just part of dinner. So when I first got saved, it took a while for God to say, hey, you probably shouldn't be drinking any alcohol anymore, especially because in the church I was in, we had gotten some people that were living on the street saved, and they started living for God. And so I wasn't married at the time, and we had an apartment. We called it the men's house, and it was a mess. But I knew, I said, you know what? This guy here used to be an alcoholic. I better not put a stumbling block in his way. I don't think, you know, to me, it was okay to drink alcohol, you know, as part of dinner. But I thought, you know, I don't think it would be good for him to set that type of example. So I decided, I judged, I'm not going to do that anymore. So he goes on and he says, I know. Isn't this wonderful? It's good to know and not just have an opinion, because Pastor Dr. Mike Betts always used to say, opinions are like armpits. Everyone has them and they stink. If our opinions are based on truth, that's good though. Amen. You know, I'm persuaded, fully convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Remember in chapter 1 of Genesis, God created the earth, amen, and everything in it. And he said, it's good. It is good. Amen. And who made the distinction between clean and unclean? Humans, men. God did give the law of Moses and the Levitical prescription, so to speak, for the Jewish people to live for God. But Paul says, you know, really, since God created everything, I'm persuaded. And notice he says, in the Lord Jesus, in the old King James, it says, I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus. In other words, Paul is saying, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus told me that everything is not necessarily unclean. I am persuaded, as one, the NIV says, in the Lord Jesus. Remember, how do you get in Jesus? You get Jesus in you. And how does Jesus get in you? You invite him in. Amen? Plain and simple. So Paul is in Jesus because Jesus is in him. And he is speaking as a person who is in the Lord Jesus. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul plainly writes and says, we, amen, believers, have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to think like Jesus. Amen? So he has the mind of Christ. Remember in Acts chapter 10, verse 15, Peter's up on the roof. He gets hungry. And all of a sudden, the Bible says this sheet comes down out of heaven with all kinds of unclean animals that Jewish people weren't supposed to eat. I got to tell you this. My brother Philip heard that I was Pentecostal. And he says, oh, Joseph doesn't eat shrimp. I says, oh, yes, Joseph does eat shrimp and lobster and crab. I'm not under the dietary laws of the Jewish people. In fact, Paul says, God says, what God has made clean, don't call common or unclean. The only problem that believers have, and we don't really do this now in this country anymore, but in Corinth, they had temples there dedicated to idols. And one of the idols, I can't remember the idol's name, was the god of fertility. And so in order to get this god's favor, you had to go to the temple and pay this temple prostitute to engage in immoral acts. However, they would offer meat up also. And in order to go buy the meat, you had to walk through this scene to go to the back of the temple. And, you know, you couldn't just ignore it. And that's why Paul says, don't eat meat. If they tell you it's sacrificed to an idol, don't eat it. Because it might affect the conscience of somebody else. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't call it common. In Acts chapter 15, verses 23 through 29, there was a controversy in the church. Can you still hear me? I can't hear me. Okay. All right. Never mind. Let's continue. There's a controversy in the church. You, the Jewish people, were saying, you got to be circumcised in order to be saved. And the Gentiles were saying, you want to do what? And they said, no, 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 no. So they have a big conference in Jerusalem, and the elders and the church, the authorities in Jerusalem, send a letter out to the Gentiles and says, you know, we heard there's some people that said that they came from us and they have the authority from us, but that's not true. Don't listen to them. You don't have to be circumcised. Here's all you got to do. If you're a Gentile believer, all you got to do is don't eat anything offered to idols. Don't eat blood. Don't eat anything that's been strangled, and avoid sexual immorality. Pretty simple. Amen? That's all you got to do if you want to be a Gentile believer. You don't have to be circumcised. So he goes on. He says, I'm persuaded, I'm convinced nothing's unclean but it is unclean for a person who thinks it's unclean. My son Matthew went from dishwasher to cook at El Corral restaurant. One day, he made some steaks for me. They were so good. I said, Matthew, you should take some steaks that you cooked and go to the bank and ask for a loan to open a restaurant. They'll give you money like that. So you know what he did? He looked into it. He said, I don't want to get into that much debt. I said, okay, but man, those were good. And I mentioned something to him because I like my bacon crispy. He says, you know, the meat packing industry has come a long way, and you don't have to worry too much. I said, oh, okay, that's good to know. Because I found out, I was reading an article in a medical journal, that this guy did some research. I can't remember his name, but he did some research on some people, I believe it was in Southeast Asia. They don't have much Alzheimer's disease in this particular group of people. And I wish I could cite the article, but I don't know what I did with it. Anyway, he said he found out what they were eating had a chemical in it. I believe it's called L-serine. And he said, you know what I found out? The one foodstuff that most people like to eat that has the most L-serine in it is bacon. I said, oh, great, praise God, I like bacon. Anyway, so to some people think it's unclean, yeah, because if you've ever seen pigs, they're gross. Really gross. But, so then he goes on, and this is the important part. If your brother is grieved or upset by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. In other words, don't look down on somebody, and he goes on to say this, that does not eat meat, or that does not eat certain foods. Don't look down on them. On the way back from California, Della, my daughter, had a podcast on there. I think it was YouTube. Anyway, it was about the man-eating lions in Africa that were terrorizing this workforce. It's like thousands of Indian workers there, and these lions were killing and eating these people, just like nobody's business. But towards the end of the British guy who went there to take in charge eventually killed both lions, and they were huge. But anyways, they did a study on the chemical makeup of the lions, because there's something called isotopes that can tell you what manner of food the lions were eating, because they were thinking, you know, lions don't usually eat humans. Why were they eating the humans? And how many humans were they eating? And it turns out they couldn't really figure it out, because the Indian workers were mostly vegetarians. So the isotope for meat wasn't in there, blah, blah, blah. In any event, what you are what you eat. So that's the point. Anyway, we don't want... By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Jesus died for everyone. And so it's our duty not to offend people as much as we can. Remember, earlier in the book of Romans, Paul writes, he says, as much as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Because if we do our part, how they respond is their business, and they're going to have to stand before God for that. Amen? Praise God. So let's go on. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Now that's a pretty odd statement, I'd say. Be spoken of as evil. Food. Hallelujah. Time out, back up. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 through 5. Everything created by God is good, as we saw in Genesis chapter 1, and nothing is to be rejected or refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Before I got saved, I was seeking and searching for God, and got into Eastern religion, yoga, and meditation, and I was a strict vegetarian. I mean, I would eat eggs, yes, and cheese, but no meat. And I was so, so informed that this was the way to God that my parents invited me over, my family invited me over to eat, and I brought my own food. And I didn't see the ridiculousness of it until much later. And then I read this verse, and I thought, eating different food doesn't get you any closer to God than walking into your garage or going to McDonald's and calling yourself a hamburger. And it doesn't get you close to God by what you eat. What gets us close to God is the Spirit of God, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the blood of Jesus, the sprinkling that has made us clean and washed us. Hallelujah. Do not, wait a minute, what's going on here? Okay, do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Or what you regard as good, do not give occasion for others to criticize what you deem acceptable. Because the kingdom of God's not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not about food, amen? That's not what the kingdom of God's about. We have to follow these strict rules and regulations. No, the kingdom of God is about righteousness, which comes from God, amen? And peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We have peace with God through the sacrifice of Jesus, and it should result in joy in the Holy Spirit, amen? We should be the happiest people in the world. But we're not a lot of times because we have problems. Oh, my God. Brother Eddie was in, sharing with me that it's his turn to preach. And Stevie, when it was his turn to preach, I can't believe how many problems just appeared out of nowhere. Yeah, because the enemy doesn't want us to live for God. Amen? The enemy wants to destroy us. Amen? But he's a loser, so praise God. Amen. Don't give occasion for others to criticize what you deem acceptable. It's not about food. It's about righteousness from God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Hallelujah. Jesus gives us great promises. And this joy in the Holy Spirit, let's change that word. How about joy from the Holy Spirit? Amen. Because the Holy Spirit never leaves nor forsakes us. Hallelujah. So whoever... And this is interesting. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. What does this thus mean? It's kind of a word is thus. It means whoever serves God in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is acceptable to God. That's how we're supposed to serve God, in righteousness, in peace, and joy from the Holy Spirit. That's how to serve God. Because when people see us serving God like that, hopefully they'll get jealous, amen? And they'll want what we got, amen? Hallelujah. So let's stir it up in ourselves. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. We aim to live. We aim to live in a way that is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. People are watching us, amen? Because the moment you say, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, they'll say, oh, really? Well, let's see about that. Praise God. And then, hallelujah, we walk in love. We serve Christ, hallelujah, in righteousness and peace and in the joy of the Holy Spirit. And then, hopefully they'll say, I want that. In the Amplified Bible, it says, eagerly, where did it go? It's not in here. Praise God. It says, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 19, eagerly pursue what makes for harmony and for mutual upbuilding, edification and development of one another. The business world is always promoting development of new ideas, the promoting human development, development of human capital. Amen. So we're in the kingdom of heaven. We want to develop leaders. We want to develop soul winners. We want to develop workers and laborers for the kingdom of heaven. And we do that by pursuing what makes for harmony and mutual edification of one another. And let's go on here. Oh, here it is. Let us pursue or chase after what makes for harmony and mutual upbuilding and edification. Now, do not, here's a command when it says that, do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. What's the work of God? The saving of souls and the building up. I had the oddest dream last night. I was out in the middle of the street, walking down the sidewalk, and I found the tiniest baby, about this big. And somehow, me and some other people decided, we need to take care of this baby. And when I woke up, I thought about that dream. That's what a new Christian is like, is that's that helpless, hopeless, that helpless little baby that needs to be taken care of and built up and nurtured so that it grows into a healthy young child and then eventually grows into a responsible adult. Hallelujah. So we want to, the work of God is saving souls and building them up. Everything indeed is clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another to stumble by what he eats. So if a person is offended, I heard a story of some people that I believe they were in Iraq. And for some reason, they were ministering, and they chose not to eat any pork because they didn't want to offend their Muslim neighbors. And one day, a whole bunch of people, I guess it was during the war in Iraq, they got brought into a shelter, and the U.S. military was handing out bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. And lo and behold, these couple, they said, you know what? Later on, they relayed this story. We saw that, and we were tempted. But because we didn't want to offend our neighbors, we took the bacon off of our sandwiches, and we ate just the lettuce and tomato sandwiches. And our neighbors made note of it. So we don't want to destroy somebody. I mean, it's so easy to mock people, amen? All over YouTube, they're making fun of people. And I spend way too much time on YouTube, I confess, but praise God. We want to build people up because everything indeed is clean, but if another stumbles by, we make another stumble by what we eat, it's not good. It's good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. So we don't want to cause a fellow believer to stumble. Because some people, they have faith and they can eat anything. Some people have faith. And Paul was talking especially to the Roman Gentile believers that, some of the people in the congregation had a problem with diet. And so Paul's saying, just be nice to people. Amen? Is it something worth dying for? Amen? That's the bottom line. Is it a salvation issue or not? So the question I put here is our liberty and faith prompting us to understand personally that what we believe God allows us to partake of, how does it have an effect? Does it affect our actions and choices? Does it have an effect on other believers? And I say, yes, it does. So we want to be careful not to offend people. Amen? So let's go to the last two verses, and we're coming in for landing here. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Hopefully. Or actually, I believe everyone here has a relationship with God, with Jesus. Amen? But if you're watching online and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you need one. What's your relationship to Jesus? What does it allow you to do? Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, and the very same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Not all things build up. Amen? So the bottom line is, talk to Jesus. Ask him, is this okay to do this or that? What should I do? What's your relationship to Jesus allow you to do? is between you and God. And if God tells you no, then the answer is no. If God tells you yes, then don't worry about it. It's not a dogmatic, it's not, you know, a black and white issue. It's open to discussion. It's not nitpicking. Anybody ever nitpick? Years ago when we were kids, we had lice warnings and lice problems. And man, when you have a lot of kids, it's easy to have it get out of hand. And it's hard to get it all done. But we don't want to be nitpicking. We want to be wary of getting into controversies about things that don't pertain to salvation. Amen. We don't have narrow standards. During the early days of the Methodist Church, they had some practices that I think are kind of dubious or doubtful or not helpful. They would have their weekly meetings. And in order to attend the weekly meeting, you had to give a testimony. Oh, yes, I was tempted like this week, and I resisted the temptation. Okay, you can come to church. But if you said, I was tempted this week for this, and I failed, and I blew it, you couldn't come to church. Well, you need to come to church if you blew it. Come get right with God, amen? So we don't want to have narrow standards. We don't want to be that closed mind. On certain things, yes, we want to keep their standards. But we don't want to get that out of hand. We don't want to exclude people. Amen. Christianity is the most inclusive religion on the planet Earth. And all kinds of sinners are welcome. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So with that, I'm going to try and save my voice a little here and close in prayer this morning. Hallelujah.